As we begin this morning, we want to consider resolutions. And as we consider those resolutions, you know, we've a lot of times with New Year's, we're already almost a week in since this is the 6th. Some have made New Year's resolutions, and some of them have already broken them. It's only 6 days in. The wonderful thing about being a Christian, however, is that we don't have to wait for New Year's to make resolutions to live our life in a different way. We don't have to follow the ways of the world or the traditions of man. God calls on us to make new resolutions, to make changes in our life at any point in that life that we need to make those changes. Anytime we recognize that there's something in our life that's wrong, that we need to change it and do things right, at any point there, we are welcome to make those resolutions. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, we see Daniel making a resolution. The Bible says there, "But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself." Daniel made this determination. He resolved. He made a resolution. And he stuck to his. You know, it is easy. There are a lot of things to dissuade us from our resolutions. But we want to talk this morning and ask ourselves the questions, what are you resolved to do? What are you going to do? Not just with a New Year's resolution, but what are some things in our lives that we need to change the direction we're going? We need to change habits, thought patterns, actions. When we recognize those things that we need to change, we need to work on that and make a resolution like Daniel did. He was under a great deal of temptation. He was in an odd place, far from his home. He was around pagan people who had beliefs very different from his. It would have been very easy for him to go along with the flow. You know the old saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Well, he wasn't in Rome, he was in Babylon, but the same saying could have been said there. You go along to get along. You do what they tell you to do. But instead, Daniel purposed in his heart, some translations say. He resolved. He made a determined decision in his mind that he was not going to go the same way that all of these others were going. He was going to do things differently. I've been interested by a commercial that I've seen this new year. It's a Wendy's commercial. I kind of like Wendy's commercials. I kind of like Wendy's food, maybe a little too much. But that's okay. That keeps one of our members employed, and that's a good thing. So Wendy's, though, has a new commercial out about one of their fairly new sandwiches. They actually came out with it back last year. But it says on the screen, if you've made New Year's resolutions, look away now. And then it shows this sandwich and starts to talk about the bacon and the maple syrup or flavoring or what, you know, and the sauce that's on it and the cheese and the, you know, and all how wonderful, and it's on a croissant bun, and you know, but if you've made resolution, go ahead and look away now. And then at the end, though, apparently they knew you weren't going to look away, but because at the end it says, oh, maybe you could have a cheat day or cheat days. And that's kind of sometimes the way that we look at things. Well, I'm going to make a resolution to do A, B, C, but I'm going to have cheat days. I'm going to have some days where I don't stick to my resolution. Daniel didn't do that. Daniel didn't say, you know, I'm going to make this resolution, I'll only eat the king's food on special occasions. Right? You know, this might not be the best day to talk about this with a fellowship meal right over here on the other side of that wall. But you know, sometimes, though, we do have a tendency to make what we say is a resolution. We, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do better. And I know, you can tell by looking at me, I'm bad about, you know, I know I need to do better, I need to lose weight, I need to eat better, I need to eat healthier, I need to eat less junk. Oh, but But then there's that plate of cookies, or there's that candy, or there's that ice cream, or there, you know, whatever it is. But we need to be the kind of people who make resolutions and change our lives to fit what God wants them to be. As we think about that, as we prepare to look at some ways that we can resolve to be more of what God wants us to be in this new year, let's sing the song, I Am Resolved. As we consider things that we need to resolve to do, the first thing we want to think about is, I am resolved to come back to the Lord. Now, there may be some here this morning who have wandered away from God, who have, in this past year, felt themselves slipping in the wrong direction in life, further away from God, closer to the world, closer to those things that are sinful. In Zechariah chapter 1 and verses 3 through 4, the prophet talks to the children of Israel. And here's what he says. Therefore say to them, this is God speaking to the prophet, therefore say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts. So this is the message that the prophet is to tell the people from God. Return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets cried out. Thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not hear or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. So the prophet warns people, don't be like the ones who came before you who rejected God. As God calls out in each and every generation, come to me, return to me, come back to me, come home to me. And yet in every generation there are multitudes who turn away from Him and don't come back. They don't listen to the call. And Zechariah warns, don't be like those people. Return back to the Lord. Sometimes we feel like we're far away from God, or maybe we would say we feel like God is far away from us. If He is far away from us, it's because we've moved away from Him. And so this morning, if you feel like God is far away from you, He doesn't move. He remains the same. If you're further away from Him today than you were last year at the beginning of the year, then you're the one that's moved. And you need to come back to Him, return to Him. And we'll sing, Lord, I'm Coming Home. As we continue to make resolutions, I am resolved to be refreshed by the Lord. The last verse of the song we just sang spoke of that a little bit, about having ourselves restored and refreshed by God. As we think about that, I know that many of us have had some hard times in the past year. We've had some big changes in our lives, some more so than others. But it's very possible that we may be wearied, that we may be worn out and exhausted. And at times like that, Satan loves to attack. When we're at our lowest points, Satan will do everything he can to kick us while we're down and to try to destroy us. But we need to depend on the Lord to refresh us, to restore us, to help us to have the strength when we don't have the strength on our own. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 29 through 31, there Isaiah says, He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, His strength, He increases His strength. Even youths faint and are weary, and young men fall exhausted. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If we depend on our own human strength, we're going to fail. We're going to falter. We're going to stumble. We're going to get weary. We're going to fall exhausted if we're counting on ourselves. But if we depend on the Lord, if we trust in Him, He is able to give us the strength that we could never have on our own. So as we come into this year and as we look forward to the troubles that we will face in this year, let's remember to put our faith and trust in Him and to depend on Him to restore our soul. As we continue on with thoughts on resolutions, think of, I am resolved to fight temptation. Now we talked about how Satan would like to kick us when we're down, but Satan will attack us anytime. He doesn't just wait for the low times. He attacks us every time he has an opportunity. In fact, sometimes he attacks us even at the highest points, when things seem to be going the best. And we see that with the case of Elijah, when here he was, he had just had the prophet duel on Mount Carmel, and he had shown that God was the real God, and the people had executed all of those false prophets. You'd think, well, surely this would be a time when he would be doing great things and even better things to come. But instead, we find him just a few verses later running for his life and hiding in the wilderness and begging God to just kill him and let him die and put him out of his misery. Why the big turnaround? Well, because Satan used that high, that peak, as an opportunity to tempt him even more. Satan will always find a way to get to us and tempt us. It's what he does. It's what he's always done. But we can fight that temptation. We don't have to give in. In Mark chapter 14, verse 38, as Jesus had taken the disciples out to the garden to pray, he knew what was coming upon him. They didn't even understand. They didn't even know. He'd been trying to tell them for quite some time that, hey, I'm going to have to go die. But they just weren't getting it. And in fact, just a little while earlier, Peter had rebuked him, "Oh no, Lord, that's not never going to happen to you." And then, of course, Peter did his best to try to not let it happen by pulling his sword out and fighting. But what we find is, as he pulls them aside to pray, he says to them, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We need to beware of temptation. It is a constant in our lives. So let's consider that as we sing, "Yield Not to Temptation." One of the ways that we are best able to overcome those temptations is by resolving to stay near the cross of Christ. We know that the cross is our victory over sin. It is the point where Christ shed His blood to wash our sins away and cleanse us from our sins. But it's interesting just how important it is to be close to the cross. In John 19, verses 25 through 27, the Bible says, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were His mother and His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, He said to His mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then He said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home." The closer we are to the cross of Christ, the more honor He gives us, the more blessings He gives us, also the more responsibility He gives us, just as He did John here. John was the only one of His disciples that was near the cross. All the others had fled. All the others were farther away. But John alone was standing with these brave women. It says something to us men. We sometimes refer to women as the weaker sex. But in many ways, they're not. In times of trouble, it was the women who were unashamed and unafraid to stand near the cross of Christ. They and John are good examples to us how important it is for us to stay close to the cross of Christ. Let's consider keeping near to the cross as we prepare our hearts and minds for the Lord's Supper. And we've looked at some good things already that we need to do. As we continue that, we want to consider resolving to climb toward heaven. Sometimes we have a tendency to get comfortable and to think, well, I'm good enough. But good enough really isn't good enough. We need to continually be growing, climbing up toward heaven, closer and closer to our Heavenly Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." God calls us upward. Are we aiming for that higher ground, or are we content to dwell here on earth in the lowlands? Let's sing Higher Ground. I am resolved to have a better relationship with God's family. Are we resolved to that? Some may say, well, I already have a good relationship. We have in the bulletins this year, started with the introduction article about it this morning. If you haven't gotten that, read that. But we're going to start introducing a family each week. We're going to let us get to know each other a little better. Develop that relationship a little deeper. John says that we cannot love God whom we have not seen if we don't love our brother that we have seen. And yet sometimes we talk about our love for God, but we don't have our love for our brother. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, they came to Jesus and said, "Hey, your mother and your brothers are outside." And he said, "Wait a minute, who are my mother and my brothers?" And he pointed to his disciples around him and he said, "These are my mother and my brothers and my sisters." He said, "Those who do God's will, those who do the will of my Father, that's my family. That's my mother, my brother, my sisters." We have a family. Not just a flesh and blood family, but we have a spiritual family. And we need to grow in our relationship with that family this year. We are happy to be part of God's family. You know, there are many things that are wonderful things, love and grace and mercy. But the Bible talks a good deal about the condition of our heart. I'm resolved to cleanse and purify my heart. Our heart is the wellspring of life. It is the spring from which our deepest thoughts and emotions flow. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." If we want to get to see God, we need to purify our hearts. In Matthew 22 and verse 37, he tells us that we shall love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. All of our heart. In Luke 6:45, he tells his disciples that the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. But the evil person, of course, from their heart is going to produce evil. Our hearts are so important. We need to be sure that we are keeping them clean, keeping them washed in the blood of Christ, keeping our hearts pure so that we will be able to see God one day. Let's sing Purer in Heart. I am resolved to live in God's presence. Now, at first, we might think that we're talking about going to heaven, and certainly we do want to go to heaven one day. But that's not what we're talking about here. I am resolved to live in God's presence each and every day of my life here on earth. knowing and recognizing that God is with me, that God watches over me, that He cares for me, and that He walks with me through this life, that I am not alone on this journey. In John 17, verses 20 through 23, Jesus, in His prayer to the Father before He died, was praying for the apostles, and then He says, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. The glory that You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as We are one, I in them, and You in Me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that You sent Me and loved Me, even as You loved them, even as You loved Me." As we think about that, when we think about Jesus praying that we be in the Father, that we be in Him, just as they are one together, that we be with God each and every day of our lives. Let's sing, "Let Me Live Close to Thee." So what are you resolved to do and be? If you're away from the Lord, have you resolved to return to Him? If you're weary, are you resolved to be refreshed by Him? If you have failed in struggles against temptation, are you resolved to fight temptation better and more? Are you resolved to stay near the cross of Christ and to climb toward heaven? Will you make it your resolution to have a better relationship with your church family, with God's family? Are you resolved to have purity of heart and to live in God's presence each and every day? How much of yourself have you given over to Him? Consider that and consider your needs to respond to God's invitation, either privately or publicly, as we stand and sing, "None of Self and All of Thee."